This is the Honest Real Estate Agent Podcast, hosted by Mario Janitpour. And that's me. So thanks for being here. You can join the conversation at facebook.com/Honest Real Estate Agent. Okay, now on to the episode. Here we are, we meet again in a podcast. Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in. So, a lot of you know me from my podcasting before. I took a break, but I felt it was time to kind of get back into it, so I'm really excited. This is episode number one, We Become What We Think About. So, I'm going to make the intro kind of short and sweet. Don't want to go through a lot. You know, I want to do a podcast that I would like to listen to. And that's one of the reasons why I'm back here. And plus, a lot of people have been saying, "Hey, Mario, when are you going to do a podcast again?" You know, so I've been getting emails and, you know, people have been pinging me. So I felt it was time. So we'll do the podcast episode. And then after the podcast, I'll do a care coaching tip. After every episode, I want to give you a practical, hands-on tip, you know, from a coach's perspective on how it can help you, how you can apply it to your business in an everyday setting. So I want to add real value. And my coaching is Care Coaching, Competitive Advantage Real Estate. And for more info, you can go to carecoaching.us, and that's my website. And so I got my music, I got everything queued up, so I'm excited to be back here. You know, I never thought I'd be doing a podcast again. Inconceivable! My shout out to the Princess Bride. So great to be here. So let's go to the heart of the episode, and then afterwards I'll have a tip for you. Okay, here we go. Today I'm flying solo. Gonna do a subject that is near and dear to my heart. Since I started out in sales all those many years ago, back in the mid to late 1980s. So I'm kind of dating myself there. Want to talk about, the title is We Become What We Think About. A classic line from Earl Nightingale. And Earl was one of the early pioneers in the personal development movement back in the 1950s and 60s, I believe he is when he started. For me, when I started out, I bought a ton of audio tape series from Nightingale Conant back when I started in sales. And maybe 30, 40 tapes. I don't know where they are. Maybe they're still in my basement, or maybe I gave them away, but you can find a lot of that content actually online. I was listening to Earl Nightingale this morning on Spotify. You become what we think about. Earl has a really deep voice, and I always remember that. He was kind of a precursor to James Earl Jones, and he was really awesome. We Become What We Think About is a subject that Earl Nightingale talked a lot about in his tape series, but it's really a very old philosophy. If you can go back and look, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And that is from the Bible, from the King James Version. Our life is shaped by our mind. We become what we think. From Buddha. As a Man Thinketh is a literary essay by James Allen, and it was published in 1902, more than 100 years ago. Our life is what our thoughts make it. Marcus Aurelius. And I had to look this up because I didn't know how old, what time frame he was, but he was a Roman emperor and he was born in the year 121 AD. Wow, that's going back. There is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. And that's from Hamlet, William Shakespeare. What I'd like you to do is I'd like you to think about what you think about. What are you feeding your mind? Who is influencing you? Those closest to you in your everyday life, they have a huge effect on your life, even though you don't realize it at the time. Your family, your friends, your coworkers. What are you reading? What are you following on the internet? Are you on Facebook all the time? Are you just reading the news all the time? Pretty depressing. Are you on Twitter? Are you a Twitter addict? Are you on Pinterest, checking out all the pictures and all the things on Pinterest? What are you watching on TV? What are you listening to when you drive? Are you just listening to the radio? Are you just listening to talk shows, music? What books are you reading? Are you reading any books? It's the demise of the literature. Is anybody reading anymore? Do you take any time out of the week to reflect, to think, to be creative? Do you just take some time to be quiet? Let the quiet go through you. Do you write down any of your thoughts? Do you write down your goals? Do you keep a personal journal? Do you have any meaningful conversations with your friends, with your coworkers, with your colleagues about your goals? Do you get together with like-minded people who can push you forward and challenge you? Are you part of a mastermind group? These are all questions I'd like you to consider. So what I want to do is I want to kind of take a look at what we do in our daily life, our routine. What do we do? Well, when we wake up, what do we do first? Well, of course, we got to make some coffee. So we make coffee first. But then after we get our coffee, the first thing that we usually do is we're checking our email. And that's the first thing we do. And, you know, we're just jumping on email. If there's any work issues, a lot of times, you know, boom, the stress level goes up, especially for a lot of us who are real estate agents, because a lot of what we do is through email. So the first thing that we do before anything in the day, we check our email. And we're working sometimes even before we drink that first cup of coffee, which, you know, it's not good. You know, you got to at least get your coffee in before you're checking your email. What do we do next after we check our email? Well, most of us go on Facebook. Yeah, it's addicting, but a lot of us are there. We go, we check Facebook, we check to see, you know, what our posts, if anybody liked anything, and see if there's anything interesting. You know, trying to cut back on Facebook. I think the thing about Facebook, especially first thing in the morning for me, I know just the other day I was on Facebook and I saw somebody I know and they were traveling abroad and they were at, you know, some beautiful place in the beach and some exotic location. And here I am, you know, stuck here in Colorado. Last week, it was like, minus 10 degrees and the high was like 5. So, you know, when I'm on Facebook and I'm looking at other people and they're at all these great places, I'm like, man, that's pretty painful. Maybe rather than getting on Facebook, we could do something else. Maybe before checking our email, we could do something else. I remember when I was younger, I would wake up earlier than I needed to, and I would read for 30 minutes. Back then, in sales, I was reading sales and motivational books, very positive, uplifting, and I felt that was a great way to start my day. Nowadays, what I try to do is I try to wake up earlier than my wife and my two daughters, and I try to write. I write content for my podcast. I write content for books that, you know, that I've got going on. I write content for other projects that I got going. I write in a journal. I really enjoy kind of getting into that creative flow first thing in the morning. I recommend you try this. Get a book, you know, something that could be positive, motivational, something in your field. If you're in real estate, you know, get a sales book, a motivational book, and read for 30 minutes every morning before you start your day. Try it out for a month, because what'll happen is it's going to help you kind of get going. Your mind's going to get kind of thinking. It's just like doing exercise for our body. We're doing mental exercise, getting our mind going by reading 30 minutes every day. This is the key. How we feel affects our thoughts. We need to do whatever we can to feel good and be positive. Reading 30 minutes every morning before you start your day is amazing. Definitely do it. How about daily affirmations? Some of you might be doing this. Whatever works best for you. How about this daily affirmation? I'm good enough. I'm smart enough. And doggone it, people like me. Who said that? I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me. You could tweet me or post me to Facebook on the answer, email me. That's a classic. Now, the other part of our life that affects us is those closest to us have a huge impact on how we think and how we feel about ourselves, our family, and our friends. Family is a little tricky because you can't stop seeing your family, like your mom and your dad or those closest to you. But if they're supportive, then that's great. But if they're negative and they're, you know, kind of tearing you down, then you want to try to minimize conversations about your work, about your goals with family members who are not that supportive. There's nothing worse than being excited about your goals and your dreams and what you want to do. And then you talk to your, you know, family member, like your mom or dad or whoever, and then they say it's a stupid idea or they say you can't do that. Don't get into that conversation. You know your family, you know who's who, and if they're not going to be supportive, then just don't get caught in that trap. The same thing goes for your spouse, you know, your husband, your wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever it is. If they're fully supportive, then that's great. But if they're not, and, you know, they kind of question everything, and maybe they're not as supportive, and they kind of really kind of look at the negative side of everything, then just don't talk so much about your work and what your goals are. You can have those conversations with other people, and maybe don't look to them for support and building you up, but you know, just don't get disappointed, because sometimes some of you might be in those kind of relationships. It's ideal if you have somebody who's with you and you're all on the same page, but sometimes it doesn't work out that way. Don't let it bring you down. The point here is to try to get yourself around as many positive and like-minded people like yourself. It's always good to get a reality check, but you don't want people tearing you down all the time. It's invigorating to be around people who build you up. That's really something that's going to help you feel better about yourself, but also challenge you. I know for me, when I've had lunch with somebody who's really positive and challenges me, I get so pumped up. And in that time, you know, that hour and a half that we're together just flies right by. But I get new ideas, I get new enthusiasm, because I'm talking about subjects and thoughts which are important and meaningful to me. And I really, really enjoy that. So try to do that yourself. If you have some friends, that coworkers who challenge you, go out to lunch and talk about what is important to you. You need to seriously review who you spend the most time with outside of your family. Here, you have a choice of who you can be friends with, who you can spend time with, your coworkers. Remember the episode from Seinfeld when Elaine, she's all bummed out with Jerry and George and Kramer, and she meets new friends, and they're the exact opposite of Jerry, George, and Kramer. I mean, it was really funny. So maybe you can do the same thing. Try to make new friends. Network with other people inside or outside of your industry. The key here, surround yourself with people who will improve who you are by challenging you, motivating you, and pushing you to be more than you are. TV. How much TV are you watching? I fall prey to this because I watch a lot of sports, but I'm trying to cut back, and what I do, I DVR all the games, and if the games aren't close or they're not that interesting, I'll fast forward a lot of it. So I don't have to watch every minute of it. I don't have to watch every commercial. Think about what you're watching. Is it really necessary to watch every episode of Breaking Bad, The Sopranos, and Mad Men all like in a couple months? I know people do a lot of this binge TV watching, but these TV shows, they're not going to do much to improve your life. Point here is don't go overboard. Life is too short. Make something out of your life and don't just waste it zoning out in front of the TV. How about the radio in your car when you're driving around? It's a great opportunity to listen to positive and meaningful content on CDs. Or a lot of people nowadays, you can get podcasts, you can download it from iTunes or whatever, get it on your smart device, listen to it in your car. I don't have a fancy car like that. Maybe one day I'll get one, but a lot of people now are listening to podcasts in their car. A great resource for those of us who are driving a lot during the day. How about books? Are you reading any books? Yeah, I talked about that already. Read 30 minutes every day. There's no excuse nowadays for anybody who's not reading because of the library system. For me, I live in the Louisville, Boulder area, Colorado. We have a whole network where if I can try and look up a book in my library, Louisville, and if it's not available in Louisville, I can check the Boulder system. I can check the statewide library system, which is incredible. So I can get books from Colorado Springs, I can get books from Fort Collins, I can get books from Denver. All these books that are helpful to you, they're available in your library. So definitely read 30 minutes every day in the morning. Like I said, do it for a month. It's going to change your life. Do you take any time during the week to be quiet and just reflect? And kind of let the quiet go through you. You know, thinking, visualizing your goals. Very, very powerful. I know for me, I will visualize and I will think and I will kind of look at my future. I'll listen to music. For me, Radiohead, OK Computer, the best music ever for getting the creative juices going. But listen to music that you like. That gets you thinking. I'm telling you, visualization, being quiet, you don't have to do it to music, but kind of think. Think about where you want to be. Think about what you're doing in your work. You can come up with a lot of really good ideas by just being quiet and just thinking and letting it come to you. Really give that a try if you're not doing it. How about keeping a journal? You know, I talked about that. Do you write down your goals? Do you write down your thoughts? Journal writing is a powerful way to express your thoughts and generate new ideas. I know writing for me is very, it just really connects me to a different part of myself when I can write and I get new ideas. Try it. Keep a journal. Try writing your thoughts and ideas. Just do it once a week. It's so easy nowadays. We all have computers. We all have laptops and desktops and tablet computers. Write down your thoughts. Do it once a week. It's going to help you, and it's going to help you, like I said. The key here is we want to think good thoughts. We want to be positive, but you want to be constructive. And by doing writing your thoughts and your ideas, it's not just, you know, being Pollyanna. You're doing something constructive, and it's going to make you feel better. The last point I want to talk about is creating a mastermind group. Well, what is a mastermind group? Well, it's not hanging around with people with huge brains like the cartoon Megamind or aliens from Star Trek, the early TV shows, those aliens with the big heads, you know? No, I'm not talking about that. Not at all. What I'm talking about is the mastermind idea comes from Napoleon Hill in his book, Think and Grow Rich. He wrote about the mastermind group principle, and this is right out of his book, the coordination of knowledge and effort of two or more people who work toward a definite purpose in the spirit of harmony. No two minds ever come together without thereby creating a third invisible, tangible force, which may be likened to a third mind, and he called it the mastermind. How it works is you get together with a small group of people. You want to have like three at a minimum, and if you're starting out, no more than maybe seven or eight. You set out your goals, you set out your objectives for the group. For example, maybe you could have like a group of small business people, small business owners, and you discuss and you focus on topics like, for example, how to grow your business to the next level, how to recruit and maintain strong and loyal employees, marketing ideas on a small budget, social media strategies to build brand identity. And then with this mastermind group, 5, 6, 7, 8 people, you meet at least once a month at a minimum. Each member of the mastermind group has to talk and contribute. No ideas or thoughts are too silly. The key is you want to build momentum by talking and throwing out ideas and thoughts. Then the third entity, the mastermind, will increase in power and generate new ideas for the group. Now, this sounds kind of hokey and it sounds kind of, you know, something from the 1960s, but I mean, Napoleon Hill wrote this back in the early 1900s. And I've been a part of a mastermind group when I was younger. I remember we got salespeople together and we talked about what we can do to improve sales and improve, closing and all of our different tactics. And we got together for a while and it was really effective. It was a great group. And I remember once you get into it, 30, 40 minutes, you do it for an hour, you definitely want to meet for like at least an hour. And then the creative juices really start kicking in and the mastermind, all the thoughts and ideas really come together. So you should try to do that because mastermind groups right now, I mean, they're all the rage with the social media experts. You should see it. They're actually charging people to be a part of their mastermind group. And they're charging a premium, like $500 to $1,000 to be a part of the group. Now, I think this is bogus. I don't think you should join a group where you have to pay. I think you can easily create your own mastermind group of people within your industry. If you want to do something work, if you want to do something for personal development outside of work, you could easily find other people. And I know Napoleon Hill, he definitely didn't have this in mind when he thought about mastermind, where people can kind of pervert it and charge, you know, thousands of dollars for people to be a part of it. I just don't believe in that. But you can, and the other thing that's great about doing a mastermind group right now, you can do it virtually. You could do a Google Hangout, and you can all be in a Google Hangout. You could be there through video, and I think even Skype has multiple calls. You can do a conference call, but I do a Google Hangout where everybody's there on video, 4, 5, 6 people, and you're just throwing out ideas and you're talking and you're thinking about what can you do to whatever it is your subject is, you know, to improve the quality of your life, to you're thinking about maybe some marketing ideas, whatever it is, you get 4 or 5 people together, you're really going to create some synergy. So yeah, try it out. And those are kind of my thoughts about we become what we think about. I really want you to think about what you think about, because what we think about affects how we feel. How we feel is going to affect, you know, how we're going to perform in life, how we're going to do, you know, if you're in sales, if you don't feel good about yourself, you're not going to do well. I know for me, being a realtor, you know, when things are really cooking and I've got closings and I'm helping buyers and sellers and I've got a lot of things going on, I mean, you know, I'm on a roll, right? The butter, get me some butter. I'm cooking. And, but if you're in a funk and things are not happening and you got one setback after the other, what do you do? This is what you can do. You can control what you're feeding your mind. You can control that. You take charge of what you're putting into your mind. And once you start doing that, you're going to feel better and you're going to enjoy life a lot more. Don't let people around you tear you down, bring you down. Be like Elaine. Go get some new friends. You know, for me, I remember when I was younger, I went out to lunch with a lot of my sales colleagues. And what ended up happening? It ended up just being a big bitch session. You know, we weren't getting the leads and we weren't getting this. And, you know, this other person was getting that and blah, 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 blah. All negative energy. Don't go there. Again, you can control who is around you. So for me, I try when I go out to lunch with people, I go out to lunch with people where I want to have a good conversation. And I go out to lunch with a lot of my past customers because a lot of my past customers, I enjoy their company. And we could talk about other subjects, not specifically real estate. Okay. Wow, that was a lot more information than I thought it was going to be. But I hope you find this helpful. Okay, so here's a care coaching tip. So the next time you're going to do a presentation, be it for a buyer, be it for a seller, you know, every time people do a listing presentation, you get really nervous, right? You get really anxious and you're really focused on what you're going to say. So the next time you go into that situation, I want you to focus on how you feel. I want you to focus on, do you feel good? Are you confident? You got to be in a good frame of mind when you go in to a customer presentation. So I give an example. I know a few years ago, I went into a listing presentation and I know it was very competitive and I was really nervous and I was really anxious. And I spent a lot of time reviewing my presentation, you know, going through my notes, going through what I was going to present, looking at all the material, and I was so focused on what I was going to say that when I went in there, I didn't say it well. I mean, it's when you're in a sales situation, it's about how you feel, your confidence, and how you present yourself, because people are going to do business with you because they like you, they trust you, and they see your expertise. So if you're fumbling around and you're like going through a slides or you're going through a book and you're nervous and you're anxious and you're not being yourself, you're just like, and on this, on your house, you know, we'll put a for sale sign here and then we'll have a lockbox and then we're going to have printed flyers. And they're going to be in color. And, you know, so if you're presenting like that, you're just kind of being a robot. And this is one of the things I have a problem with so much of the realtor training, is that so much of the focus is on the content, what you're going to say, and scripts. You can read 100 scripts, But if you're not reading them effectively, if you're not projecting confidence, if you're not projecting a level of professionalism, you're not going to be able to get a commitment from the person you're talking to because you're not building any relationship. So don't get so caught up in what you're saying. Focus more on how you feel and make sure that you're feeling good, you're feeling confident. I mean, look at Olympic athletes. Whenever they do an event, they're listening to their music, right? They got their earbuds in and they're listening to their music, and professional athletes do that. You know, we should do the same thing. You know, you walk around, you strut, you know, you put your shoulders back and you kind of get your physical, your body into it, and you're feeling good. You're listening to your music and, you know, listening to Rocky. Dun, 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 dun. I can't even do it. But you get what I'm saying, right? You got to put yourself in that frame of mind where you're feeling good, you're confident, and that's going to make a huge difference whenever you're in front of a prospective customer. So remember how you feel. Feel good about yourself. Have self-confidence. Remember that you're a professional and you're there to help them. And don't get so focused on a script. Don't get so focused on what you're going to say, because if you follow the script, if you follow your presentation, but you don't have any personality and you're not projecting, you don't have any confidence, you're not going to get the deal, okay? So that's my tip as a result of the podcast today. And if you want any more information on my coaching program, go to carecoaching.us. And if you like the podcast, one of the things you can do to help me is buy my book, The Honest Real Estate Agent. And you can buy it on Amazon. It's in paperback, Kindle, and now on Audible. And make sure to get the third edition. That's the most recent edition, the third edition. And if you already have a book and you already purchased it, then make sure to tell somebody else about it. Spread the word, post a review, and that's something that can really help me as I continue on and record more podcast episodes just for you. Okay, until next time, and here's some music from my brother Vic. All right, bye-bye.